So we're continuing as we turn the corner into a new year about the church advantage. And now that we've kind of gotten, you've heard this a bunch of times, we're going to start being able to do it ourselves. We're the church's advantage for God. It's the church's advantage for us. And the church's advantage for the world, for others, for everyone. So in this series, we're going to be talking this month about money. We're going to be talking about how the church has an advantage on how we view money, because we've got advice from God on how to handle our money, how to manage our money. And so this series is called, What Does God Say to the Church About Money? And so today we're going to be talking, and this series, this is a tightly woven series, so every message is going to build on each other. So if you miss a Sunday, please check it out on the website. I'll try to get them up quickly. So that we can all keep up with that, because, you know, January is a great month for weather possibilities. So today we're talking about how priorities define money management. Next Sunday we're going to be talking about how generosity and investments add value to the dollar. These are going to be fun messages. The third Sunday is that God's establishments are made to run on the generosity of the whole. And then the final Sunday is that good financial habits have to start somewhere. And in that Sunday, I'm going to be issuing a challenge to you, to all of us. And so we're going to be building towards that Sunday and taking all the tools. That Sunday is going to kind of be putting all the things together that we're going to be studying. So today we're talking about how priorities define money management. So let's talk about priorities, since that's part of our title. In our lives, we have many fixed resources. Resources that have a defined amount or defined figure, they're finite. Like time. We have 24 hours, that's it. We have 24 hours each day. When you start a day, you know, these are the hours I have. What am I going to do with them? How am I going to manage them? How are we going to schedule them? How are we going to budget our time? And we do that based on what's more important to us. That's a tough truth to accept sometimes, but it's true. We will budget our time, we will manage our time, we'll schedule our time, and we will base those choices of scheduling of where we spend our time based on our priorities, and our priorities are based on our values. So if you're going to set that, you've got fixed resources, and the budgeting, the scheduling of those resources, it's based on priorities. Your priorities then are based on your values. Your values will set that up for you. So for instance, if work is more important than your son, then you'll miss your son's baseball game to put in a few extra hours at work. However, if your son is more important than work, you'll leave early from work in order to make it to your son's baseball game to be able to watch him. Now there are times, I'm not trying to lay guilt trips on some of you, because there are times when you do have to stay late at work, you have to handle something that has to be done that day, and that's not your normal pattern. Your normal pattern is to be there at the baseball game because your son is valuable to you. But you had to make an exception this one night. That is still a decision that is based on priorities that are built on values. Even though your core values might be a little bit different, your values had to shift, and therefore your priorities shifted that day. And so you stayed at work instead of going to the baseball game, because that day, getting that job done, getting that project done, staying late and taking care of that was more important, because it had more valuable. It had more value. It was more valuable to you, to the company, for you to stay than it was for you to go to your son's baseball game. If attending church is more important than children's sporting events, or a little extra sleep on a Sunday morning, then those things will have a higher priority than church, and you won't be here, because you only have a certain number of hours in the day, and if you have to plan and schedule those, you can't move hours around. When something has a schedule, you have to decide sometimes, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do this. What makes that decision? It's priorities. Something has a priority, higher priority, then you make your decision on that. And your priorities are based on what? Values. Absolutely. If your children's sporting events are more important, aren't more important than church, then you'll be here. You'll be in church instead of the sporting event, or sleep is the case, then you'll be here instead of sleeping. If you want to make changes in the way that you manage your time, that will mean reordering your priorities. So if the management needs to change, you're going to need to adjust priorities. You can't just adjust priorities. You have to go down to your core values, and that's where you need to adjust things, because then that's going to filter up through your priorities and then through your schedule, through how you budget your time. You'll have to look at your core values. You'll need to change that if you're going to change your priorities. So you'll build a time budget, and that'll be based on what's most important to you, all the way down to what's least important to you, what's most valuable to you, and what's least valuable to you. And so we have to budget our time, because that's a fixed resource. We budget our money in the same way. It's a fixed resource. We spend our money on things that are most important to us. Some of you might say, well, not really, because I have to make a house payment. I have to keep up with the mortgage, or they'll take my house. But you have a mortgage payment because owning a house was important to you. And not just owning a house, because you're worried about getting kicked out of that house. Because you could say, well, if I downsize, then I would have more margin. But you don't want to downsize. Why? Because it wasn't just owning a house that was important to you. Owning that house was important to you. So it's based on a value. Your priorities are based on values. This house is important to me. Therefore, I have to make this mortgage payment because my value system says so. So your priorities are aligned because of your value system. Or maybe you say, well, I don't want to downsize because I haven't lived in this house long enough to build equity. And so you're trying to make a smart business decision. And once again, that's still a priority that's based on a value. Your value is that you don't want to lose money on a business deal. You don't want to lose money because you haven't put in enough equity into your house. That's a value. Therefore, that's more important. That's a priority over having margin in your life. And so we do this constantly with our fixed resources, whether we realize it or not, whether it's conscious or subconscious, we will prioritize our fixed resources based on our values, what's important to us. Every money decision that you make comes down to priorities that are based off of values. I read a quote from Dave Ramsey, who's a big money guy, and he said, you wouldn't take dieting advice from an overweight person. Why would you take financial advice from someone who's broke? So I share that because I'm not a millionaire. But I do have God's word. And God's word has a lot of wisdom. And if we would use the whole physical analogy there, I was once a larger person and I'm on the process of losing weight, if that makes sense. So I'm not a millionaire yet, but God's helped to bring some wisdom to me on some finance stuff that I'm starting to put into practice and have been for years. It's just going to take a while to see some of that turn over and make a difference. So this whole idea of managing our fixed resources based on priorities, which are based on values, this is just simply wisdom that comes from Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is some of the greatest wisdom ever shared on money management. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is about priorities. And this is about priorities being set on values. Things that are important to us. Ultimately, your budget is based on a list of things that range from what is most important to what is least important. You pay the things that are most important first, and the things that are least important last. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a true statement. And we see it. We see it every day when we're working with our budget, when we see dollars go in and out through our hands, through our pockets. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A couple verses down from that is where we read that Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters." He will, or either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That verse isn't looking at an Excel spreadsheet. It's not looking at a budget with numbers listed in red and black ink, tracking income and expenses in a strictly logical way. This verse is about the emotional connection that we make, that we deem one thing as more important than another based on our emotional connection to that thing. Either God is more important in our heart, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Either God is more important in our heart, or money is more important in our heart. One will be a higher priority than the other. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He goes on to talk about how people who worry, they worry about what they'll eat and drink or what they'll wear. And he says, look at the birds. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. God takes care of them. Look at the flowers of the field. They don't worry about what they're going to wear. And look how God clothes them. Aren't you worth much more than flowers or birds? Don't you think that God's going to take care of you? And Jesus resolves this discussion with a statement that many of us know, a very popular statement. Verse 33 of chapter 6, Jesus says, but seek, what's that word? First. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This verse is clearly about priorities. Seek first. Make this a top priority. Seek first the kingdom. But as we look at these truths put together, we're not going to prioritize the kingdom unless the kingdom means something to us in our heart, unless the kingdom means something to us in our value system, unless in our core values that truly is more important. Then we're going to adjust our priorities and seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And that'll affect how we schedule things, how we budget things in this discussion. So let's take some notes on all this. Go on and pull your bulletins out. We're going to just... boom, we've got a big list here. I wanted to kind of cover the scholastic side of it. Now we can take some notes on this. So go on. First one, we don't have to write anything down, but I want you guys to hear it, that my priorities will dictate how I manage my money. My priorities will dictate how I manage my money. My priorities are built on decisions with emotional connections. And this goes for money. This goes for any fixed resources you're managing it. But today, talking strictly about money, my priorities are based on decisions with emotional connections. Next line there is that one priority slot cannot be taken up by two items. So as you're prioritizing, you can't put two items in one priority slot. They can't tie for second or tie for third or tie for first. One priority gets one priority slot, one item. For Christians, the first priority slot is reserved for God, his kingdom and his righteousness. This wisdom wasn't new with Jesus. Jesus was consistent with what God had shared throughout the Old Testament. Talk about first fruits. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Honoring God with the first fruits of my fixed resources shows that honoring him is my top priority. So try this. Try this with time. Give God the first fruits of your time. Give him the first moments of your day. The first minutes that you're awake. Give him that time. And see what that does for your relationship with him. See what that does for your attitude through the whole day. See what that does for your work ethic, how you work, what you get done. See what that does for your attitude. See what that does. See how that affects your marriage. See how that affects your relationship with your children. See what that does for how you view others. Give God the first fruits of your talents or your gifts. Have your first thought about your gifts and talents be, how can I use this gift or talent for God? How can I use this to expand his kingdom? How can I use this gift or talent for righteousness' sake? Instead of thinking, How can I use this gift or talent to get people to praise me? To gain some sort of personal clout or popularity? Instead of asking yourself, how can I use this gift or talent to turn a dollar? To get some money, to make some money? Now, going back to the first one of those two negative ones, is it wrong to accept compliments on your gift or talent? No, not at all. But when that's your first priority, you've knocked God out of that first priority slot. When your first priority with your gift and talent is to get compliments, to get recognition, to get, you know, popularity, then that's knocked God out of the first priority slot. It's not wrong, it's wrong when it's first. Does that make sense? Is it wrong to make money off your gift or talent? To get paid for doing something that you do well? Not at all. That's what most of us have done or are doing in our work world. You get paid for something you do well. The better you do it, the more you get paid. That's kind of the premise that it works on. That's not wrong, but when that's the top priority, when that's the first priority, then that's not God out of first place, and then it is wrong. Do you see where the difference is? Give God the first fruits of your vision, your passion in life. Give God the first fruits of your influence on those around you. Give God the first fruits of your opportunities. Let the first thought be, how can I use this opportunity for God? How can I use this opportunity for His kingdom, for His righteousness? Since we're talking about money, give God the first fruits of your labor. Give God the first fruits of your paycheck or your money. Proverbs 3:9, once again, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Very clearly talking about money. With the first fruits of your labor, the wages, what you earn, the first fruits of all your crops. So the first fruits of my wealth will go to the top priority in my life. Let's go and write that down. The first fruits of my wealth will go to the top priority in my life. Whatever that top priority is, that's where your first fruits are going to go. When you get a paycheck and you look at it and you say, okay, I'm going to take $100 or $200 or $300 or whatever out of this paycheck and it's going to go to such and such, you have told yourself what your top priority is. That's why it's important to understand this wisdom in Proverbs 3:9. Give God the first fruits. People have asked me before, when I'm basing my tithe, do I base it before taxes or after taxes? Well, based on this verse, you guys answer that question. Is it before taxes or after taxes? Before taxes. You give God the first fruits. And what that does is it reveals or it helps you to readjust your value system, whichever way it goes. Chicken or the egg on that situation. If your value system says that God is your top priority, giving Him the first fruits, it's not a problem. That's going to be a natural occurrence. If you're not giving Him the first fruits, then you start to adjust that. It helps to adjust your value system. And God becomes a top priority in other areas of your life. It's a way of practicing that, of giving Him the first fruits. Something will be the top priority. You will give to something first. What is that? Because those are your first fruits, and your wealth will go to the top priority in your life. The first fruits of your wealth, rather. It's going to write this down. Honoring God with the first fruits of my labor shows that honoring Him is my top priority. Honoring God with the first fruits of my labor shows that honoring Him is my top priority. Let's go on to the tithe. Just mentioned that a moment ago, that tithing off of, you know, pre-tax or post-tax. The tithe. We're looking at a couple of passages here. The first one's in Leviticus. Let me hit one note real quick before we hit that, is that a tithe simply means 10%. So go ahead and write that down. Many of you guys know this. It's a review. Tithe simply means 10%. That's what tithe means. Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything, so 10% of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe in the Old Testament in Leviticus was understood as already being owned by God. So let's go and write this down. In Leviticus 27:30, 10% belonged to God. So you wouldn't give the tithe, you would what? you'd bring the tithe. You wouldn't give the tithe. Yes, return would have been a good word. I use bring. It's in the next passage that we're going to look at in Malachi. So you wouldn't give the tithe. That psychology is incorrect. To give. We give our offering. And sometimes we look at that. We say, well, I give my offering to the church based on what I feel the church deserves. And our psychology is really messed up on giving because of that. It's not giving, it's bringing. And it's not giving to the church, it's bringing to God what belongs to God. Big difference in the psychology there. We see that God views it this way, as he shares in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses starting with verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." So if we're understanding tithe being the equivalent, it means 10%. So bring the whole 10% into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Bold words from God. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I'm just going to write this down. Hoarding the tithe or bringing the tithe has physical consequences because it is a reflection of how my priorities are ordered. There's the supernatural element of God doing what he said he would do, whether the curse or the bless. But you can look at it also on this side of things, that when we're bringing the tithe, then we have a properly ordered set of priorities. Things always go better when your priorities are set right. Most of you know. You've lived long enough. In my short life, I've learned and seen that when priorities are right, things go right. Even they might not be easy, they might be difficult, but they're still going right. Correct? When things get knocked out of kilter and priorities get shifted and your priorities are all scrambled, that's when life gets crazy and things go bad and you start scrambling and you have to try and figure out how to fix it. Jesus says, just put first things first. Seek God first, his kingdom, his righteousness. Everything else is going to come in order after that. Everything else is going to fall into order. So when we hoard the tithe or we bring the tithe, that has physical consequences because it's a reflection of how my priorities are ordered. It's a reflection on whether or not God is first importance or no importance in some cases. I've heard some people say that this is just Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us anymore. And I tell them, that's a fair statement. But test God in it. Test him in it. Bring in the whole tithe. See if he doesn't bless you. See if he doesn't open the floodgates of heaven and fill you with so many blessings that you can't even hold. And then when that happens, then you tell me whether or not this still applies today. Because I've heard many stories where that is the case, where people have done that and they've been faithful and God has poured out blessings on them. I've heard story after story after story of how that works. Now, if that is true, then could the curse side of it also be true? It's between you and God, between you and Scripture. I'll let you worry about that and sort through that, but I encourage you, test God in that. In this series, we're going to be building towards a final challenge in the final week. And so today, oddly enough, we're hitting on so many things and hopefully stirring some thoughts and stirring some emotions based on how you're managing your fixed resources. I'm not going to ask you to make any changes in your giving this week at all, or even next week or the week after. We're building towards a final challenge. What I want you to do in the process, though, I want you to be engaged every Sunday. I want you to take this in. I want you to absorb it. I don't want you to make a decision based on something you just heard one day. We're going to be building towards a challenge, and I want you to make a decision based on some things that you've been chewing on yourself, some things that you've been spending time with God on. So instead of having the action steps today be, okay, let's give a 10%, the whole tithe. Okay, let's go to the Malachi 3 thing. Or let's go to, you know, setting the kingdom first. You need to reprioritize today. And I do that oftentimes. Today I'm not. I'm going to come back off that a little bit. I want this to be something you chew on. Something you spend some time wrestling with God on. So today's action steps, let's go and write these down. The first one is all there for you. Simply reread the passages from today through this week. However many times you can read through them. These are not big passages. Matthew chapter 6 and just a handful of verses there. Read that. If you want to start adjusting some things, taking some advice that I've given you today, do that every morning. Every morning this week, start setting up some new things. Start spending some time with God in the first moments of your waking hours. And do it on these verses. Spend some time in Matthew 6. Read the Leviticus 27:30 verse. Read the Proverbs verse. Read the passage there in Malachi and chew on that. And let that work with you through the day. And think about it and meditate on it. And come back to it at lunchtime and maybe read over another one of those. We've got Bible apps on your phone now, and if you haven't downloaded one, I can show you how to do it. And it's great because then the Bible is everywhere you go. When you're waiting in line or something, you just pull it out and flip it open and look at Proverbs 3:9. You look at that first three or four times, and you probably got it memorized after that. So reread the passages from today this week. Then I want you to, on Saturday, so the day before Sunday, which is Saturday, going to write that down. So we have some active learning here, some active participation. On Saturday, I want you to read three chapters in Matthew. Matthew 25, 26, and 27. So set aside, you got 6 days to plan for this. Look at your Saturday, put it in your schedule, say, okay, here's the block of time I'm going to set aside to just read three chapters of Scripture. Maybe it's that you wake up earlier than everyone else in your house that day, and you read those three passages of Scripture. Maybe you're a night owl and you normally stay up after everyone goes to bed. Use that time, set it aside. Set it aside now and say, I'm going to spend that time, I'm going to read, because that's going to prepare us for the Sunday's message next Sunday. Matthew 25, 26, and 27. And then the third action step is just to pray that God will reveal areas and ways that He can become more of a priority in your life. And be open. Listen to Him. Listen to what He's got to say about that. Priorities define money management.